The three most dramatic things in life that people do is they move house, they get divorced, and they sell companies, right? And you did all of that in 3 days?
Yeah, but I loved it. Like my ex and I, we signed the papers. We went to dinner after. We were on such good terms and we still are to this day. I was so ready to move back to my hometown and I was so happy to have the cash in the bank. It was like the most money I could have ever imagined at the time. And I had a lot of, I think, just like trauma from that relationship for a long time. But now I can actually just look back on it and think I'm really grateful. So this business actually was essentially born from a place of like personal pain.
A very warm welcome to the Creative Dealmaker podcast. I'm Carl Allen. I'm your host, and I'm going to be interviewing expert guests, sharing investor strategies that will completely and utterly disrupt the market when it comes to buying and selling businesses all over the world. Hey guys, it's Carl Allen. Welcome to the Creative Dealmaker podcast. Got a very special guest with me today, one of my own very business partners. We did a deal a few months ago, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit as part of this conversation. But welcome to the show, Nicole Spencer. How are you?
Yes, I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So obviously, I know everything about you because I acquired your business and now we're partnering in a much bigger kind of roll up in the coaching and education space. But just for the benefit of my listeners on the podcast and my viewers on YouTube, just give us your backstory. Like, you know, who is Nicole? Where's she from? And just kind of take me up to like the present day.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll keep it short. So yes, I'm Nicole Spencer and I reside in Asheville, North Carolina, which is an amazing place to live. I hike all the time with my dog and that's my favorite thing to do. And I've been in online education now for almost 10 years and in the coaching space for much longer than that. So for about 15 years and falling into coaching was fairly accidental. I actually went to school for teaching. So I was a high school English teacher for 3 years.
You're a natural born educator though then, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. Except I like to teach adults who want to be there. So I knew even in my student teaching that was not going to be my life. And so I did that for a few years, always wanted to actually go get a PhD. And the stepping stone to that was a master's. So I found a master's degree in Holocaust and genocide studies. So I actually have a full master's degree.
Wow.
In that. Yeah. And I wanted to be a professor. And then once I got into grad school, I thought, well, I want to work for an NGO or the UN. And that was really my dream. And long story short, I was living in New York City after graduate school. The UN wouldn't hire me. And I didn't want to wait tables anymore. I think I was 27 or 28 years old at the time and had a master's degree. And I was like, this is crazy. So I went and became a personal trainer and it was the best decision I've ever made. I worked corporate fitness for a few years, ended up moving down to Southeast Georgia in a very tiny town where I didn't know anybody. And there wasn't really anything else to do there. So I decided to open a fitness studio, which had been my dream actually in New York, but fairly impossible if you know anything about rent in New York City. And so I made it happen despite having a lot of people who were just really huge naysayers about it. Everyone was kind of like, well, it's a great idea, but no one's interested in that here. Not a great idea here. Love the idea, but just not here. And fortunately, I met a fitness business coaching company, essentially went to one of their events, saw people all over North America like me who were doing what I wanted to do. It built my belief. So about 6 months later, I opened my gym. We had 50 paying clients in the first 3 months, and I didn't even know anyone in that town 6 months prior. And I actually sold that business within 3 years and 1 month from the date that I opened it. Worked for 3.5 years for another company, actually the one that I hired. I was hired by them to do fitness business coaching and consulting. Like many jobs, it was great until it wasn't. And I broke away and started Authentic Conversion now 6 years ago. And here we are today.
Wow. Interesting. So a couple things I want to talk about, right? So let's get into like that first deal. So you built, you founded the fitness studio, you grew it, and then you decided to kind of take an exit. So just walk me through that. Walk me through that experience of your first like acquisition as a seller. Like, how did it go? And like, what did you learn through that journey?
Well, I learned that the buyer has to be right, because I sold a very profitable, very successful fitness studio that was closed within 6 months. So that was a huge lesson to learn. I can't say that I regret the decision, because at the time that I, well, so even before I opened it, I was married at the time. And that's why we ended up in this tiny little town. My ex-husband, who was wonderful and supported every dream I had and is really such a huge reason that I'm here today, he took a job. He was a federal agent. So he took a job teaching at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center where we were, and his position was going to move us every 3 to 5 years. So I already kind of knew when I was getting started that I either needed to be able to sell the business or run it remotely within 3 to 5 years. And so I went into it with that mindset. And then I would say about 2.5 years in is when I kind of started having thoughts of selling. And I just thought it was too soon at the time. Yeah. I was like, well, it's not even close to its potential. But in a pretty quick period of time, he and I separated. I hated where we lived. So I moved up to Savannah, Georgia, which was like an hour away. So now I'm running this remotely. I was already doing fitness business coaching full-time, working for this other company. Yeah. And there was nothing tying me to Georgia other than him. And so it ended up being a case where within a few months, I think I listed the business in May of 2015. We signed the papers like the first or the second week of July. I signed the sale papers, the divorce papers, and moved from Savannah back to Asheville all within like a 3-day period.
Oh, so my word.
So yeah, it was exciting though. I loved it. It was great.
So what you just talked about there, right? So the three most dramatic things in life that people do is they move house, they get divorced, and they sell companies, right? And you did all of that in 3 days?
Yeah, but I loved it. Like my ex and I, we signed the papers. We went to dinner after. We were on such good terms, and we still are to this day. I was so ready to move back to my hometown. And I was so happy to have the cash in the bank. It was like the most money I could have ever imagined at the time. And not to have the stress of that anymore, because running a gym is actually, as your partner Chris knows, it's quite stressful. Yeah. But yeah, it was,
he's our partner. No, not just my
partner. Our partner now. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I am always someone who has loved change. I think it's really fun. I think it's really exciting. It doesn't scare me. I'm like the opposite of my parents. I don't know where this came from, but yeah, it was such an invigorating time in life. I had more money than I'd ever had before. I was moving back to where I wanted to be, closer to my mom and my hometown, and just like entering a whole new phase of life. And it was great.
That's so amazing, right? Because I think there's a lot of different reasons why people sell companies. One is they want to retire or go into a new phase of life. Two is they just get stagnant in the company, or get bored and they get frustrated. Or there's a lifestyle change, whether it's a breaking down of a marriage, or they want to move to a different location, which is kind of okay, you know, with an online business like Authentic Conversion. We'll talk about that in a minute. That, you know, we acquired, but now we're partnered with you on. That business can run pretty much anywhere. And I think one of the challenges with brick and mortar businesses is if you want to have a lifestyle change, often the business can't come with it. Whereas a digital business, like, you know, we're partners now. We've only like met once, yet we're remote and we're doing all these crazy things. So then what drove you? So you sold business one, you moved, you had the lifestyle change, you were back to the place that I guess was where you wanted to be. And then what kind of drove you to create Authentic Conversion, which is an incredible company? And you did an amazing job building that. But what drove you? What gap in the market did you figure that, you know, I've got to go and fill?
Yeah, there was the gap in the market piece, and there was also the personal piece. So really, when I was kind of coming up in building my gym and really learning about marketing and sales and all of those things, it was such a masculine, and it still is, but it was such a masculine dominated industry. But you remember like all the, you know, 7-page sales letters that you'd get in the mail. And I always called it like the punch you in the face marketing, where you feel like you're being yelled at. Yeah. There was like so much of that, and it just never resonated with me. And I never wanted to do it. And anytime I just followed someone else's instructions and did it, it never worked. And so I felt like there was a real need. And when I started Authentic Conversion, it was only for health and fitness professionals. It's not anymore. It's for all types of coaches, but I really felt that there was a need specifically in that space for more human connection, for more empathy, and for really learning how to build businesses that are purely based on connection and relationships. And that's really where it came from, is bringing that energy into just a very, and I don't mean masculine, like just men, but just that like really in your face approach. Yeah. And really wanting to teach people how they can get people coming to them. That was a big part of it, which I think, you know, in hindsight, now I didn't even realize how important that would be because of all the gross tactics that are out there now. It's not the 7-page I'm yelling at you sales letter, but it's like, you know, the spammy DMs and like pitching people without even knowing who they are and, you know, all of those things. So the need for it is always going to be there. And I think it's ever evolving. So there was that side of it for sure. And the side of it that was more personal was I am, you know, even though the relationship did not end well, I am so grateful for the experience that I had working for this other company, first being a client for them for like of theirs for 3 years and then working for them for 3.5 years, because I got to teach fitness business all over the world. It was mostly online, but I was teaching in-person workshops once or twice a month. Yeah. They sent me to host and MC events from Australia to the UK and everywhere in between. And there was so much networking that happened there. I mean, we still have people in our program that I met through those opportunities, and I met just some great friends and connections, and I learned so much. I would say about 1.5 years before we parted ways is when I really wanted to. And then it just got to a point where I felt like I was in an abusive relationship. I actually ended up getting an apology email from the owner of the company a couple of years later for how he treated me. And really the falling out was I was not willing to do something that I felt was really unethical, and I couldn't get a reason from them why they wanted me to this thing or a justification. And so I just refused, and it wasn't going to work beyond that. So, and I had a lot of, I think, just like trauma from that relationship for a long time, but now I can actually just look back on it and think I'm really grateful. So this business actually was essentially born from a place of like personal pain first. I had to change my life. And, but then also really recognizing that I had a valuable solution to offer. That, people.
That's so powerful, right? Like I've been through a very similar process in a company that I sold. So I sold a business, to a, you know, massive corporate that, you know, where it was a great business with a great brand, but a lot of their tactics and a lot of their kind of things that they did, you know, just kind of didn't resonate with me. And, you know, this was a deal I did just before COVID, and I was locked in for a period of time, partly living in the States. And I knew very early on that, you know, this wasn't going to end well. Fortunately for me, I got the business back in a very creative way at a significant discount, and was able to kind of build it back up and make it super, super successful again. And I still own that business, which is fantastic. But like oftentimes, like, you know, when you look at mergers and acquisitions, like, you know, I learned how to do this as a Wall Street guy, right? So I learned this in corporate America. And, you know, when you're doing the big deals, and a lot of this translates down to kind of small acquisitions, which are the bulk of all the deals that happen, is three things have to be true for a deal to work. Number one is it's got to have strategic alignment and fit. So when company A buys company B, there's got to be a reason, right? Like a chiropractor is not going to buy an auto repair shop, right? Like Dealmaker Wealth Society buying Authentic Conversion, massive synergy, massive strategic fit. We're partnering on that new entity together. So strategic alignment is really important. The second thing is like systems and process fit. I won't bore you with stories of massive deals that I've worked on in the past where simple things like their IT systems wouldn't work. You know, you had business A on a mainframe, business B on a client server platform, and they couldn't talk to each other. So you couldn't get the synergies and all the different things and the process alignments that you need. But the third thing, and this is probably the most important thing, and I think, you know, it caused me pain in my deal, caused you pain in your deal, is cultural fit, right? Cultural fit. And you mentioned before about often in deals, it's not just about the best deal in terms of price and terms, which are negotiation points. What I think is often more important for a certain type of seller is that cultural fit. It's that safe pair of hands. It's buyers and sellers, that their values align,
their beliefs and their principles align, and you know that something that you've built and you care about and you love and you adore that for whatever reason you don't want anymore, you want to exit, it's making sure that the buyer knows that and they're going to treat it with respect. And it almost goes back to like legacy, right? Like if you think about, you know, authentic conversion, like that for me is a transformational company that has gone a long way to change the way that people are marketing online, you know, today. And I think it's really important when you sell an asset like that, for whatever reason, you find a buyer that's got the same values as you. And we don't see a lot of that in the world. But no, thank you for selling me your company and agreeing to partner with me on its next evolution, right?
Absolutely.
I think we all aligned in what we wanted to do with the business. And I hopefully you'll agree in the 3 short months that we've owned it. Yeah, we've done some pretty amazing things. We've taken a beautiful diamond company and just started to kind of put the afterburners on a little bit. And whilst it's work in progress, you know, as a board, we're all thrilled with, I think, what we can do with the business, you know, next year and beyond.
Yeah, same. And I, you know, I was confident with you guys as the buyers initially, pretty much right away, but it's actually been even better than I thought it could have been. You know, the people that I'm working with and connected to, they're just people that you would want to be friends with, not just like business partners. And so it just makes everything so easy, right? It's like, you know, I work obviously very closely with Chris, and he's such an easy person to work with. Yeah. And he's really, I don't know that he knows this, but he's really allowed me to like, cause I think we're all like this to some extent. I don't know, maybe we grow out of it. I haven't, but like very controlling about how we want things to go and the experience we want to have people, you know, for people to have, and how we want the brand perception and all of that. And he's really just given me so much confidence in his own. He's kind of like, he always wants my feedback, but he's kind of like, look, I got this. And it's allowed me to really like lean back, because I said to him, my vision got us to this mark, right? What I know got us here. I know it's not going to take us there. And I just need to know that it's okay to like defer to you, because I'm so used to being the one who's doing and creating. And that's just felt really fun to now be able to be in his support team versus like trying to figure out, okay, why am I just like at this level and I can't seem to break past it? And yeah, I mean, we always have to like take a little step back to go forward, but I'm really excited for all the stuff that we're
working on. So I don't know if you remember the conversation early on in the discussions that we were having, but I kind of called that. I said to you, like, what will happen to you in this business is you will transition very quickly from being an owner operator to becoming an owner investor, right? And I was exactly the same in Dealmaker, right? So I got to a stage where I was kind of almost in my own way, and the business was never going to grow outside of me just being the owner, right? And when I partnered with Chris, I went through the exact same kind of, you know, set of changes where I all I wanted to do was think and coach, right? You're like me. You've got a very creative mind. You can see the big picture and you can articulate like a master architect, you know, what you want the vision to be. But I think you'd come to a stage in your journey where you didn't want to be the CEO of that company that was going to grind the execution to make it happen. And I fell into that same boat. And I think partnering with Chris, he's that guy. He can take a vision and he can build the infrastructure to make that happen. And then I think for you and I, it's just, let's get out of the way. Let's him deal with all that. We're there to support, we're there to coach, we're there to help cajole, we're there to share our views and opinions. But, you know, he's 7x'd the Dealmaker business literally in the last 2.5 years. And he'll do the same with Authentic, even though you're coming off a much more powerful platform than like where I was. I was dealing with the aftermath of a corporate destruction with my company. You obviously sold your business in an extremely powerful situation, both financially and strategically. So, and that's the model, as you know, we've talked about this in our board meetings. That's the model that we're doing. It's phasing these major acquisitions. Like, as you know, we're under contract for a real estate coaching business, which is amazing. So if you think we've got marketing growth coaching, we've got business acquisition coaching, and we've got real estate coaching, and you know, we've got those other smaller acquisitions as well that we've been making. But that trifecta of education, and then underpinning that with acquisitions that can help students transact, whether it's a marketing agency that we own now, whether it's a consulting company that we own now, whether it's the CPA firm we're about to buy, whether it's the title company we're about to buy, and it's having those transactional assets that can help the student flywheel, you know, move a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very exciting. And this has been, I think I'm such a hands-on doer. And so even the idea of like transitioning from owner operator into owner investor is just, it's a different way of being, let's say. And it's something that I'm still like having to navigate for myself, because I am so hands-on and I'm so conditioned to be that way. I've always been a really hard worker. My mom always like, I don't even remember this stuff, but she was telling my boyfriend, you know, I don't know, we were at dinner there a few months ago or something. And she was like, Nicole paid for her own clothes. She did. I'm like, I did, like from the time I was 16. And it wasn't that my parents wouldn't have helped me, but I think I've just always been like a hard worker. And so, you know, I want to be at a stage in my life, and I'm ready for the stage in my life where it gets to be more of that owner investor, but it really is such a huge conditioning shift to make.
It is. And I think what's really interesting about, you know, being a multiple seller, so you've built two businesses and you've sold them in extremely profitable states. I think what that does, Nicole, is it gives you a real insight to not only how the process works, but also the psychology and the emotions that often happen in deals. And like a lot of time, people just focus on the technical side of a deal. Yeah, we got to find a business, we've got to make an offer, we've got to do due diligence, we got to raise capital, we got to do all those things, right? And people typically are very good at learning that stuff. But what sometimes they struggle to articulate is that the emotional sides of deals, like, you know, I don't want to go into too much detail with our transaction, but, you know, there were times where, you know, we didn't get along that well with the brokers, and there was some delays, and there was some kind of issues, and it's emotional, right? Because it's like being a parent and sending your kids off to college, right? You want to make sure they're safe and they're happy and everything's going to go well. And there's times where emotion can kind of make it difficult, both as a buyer and as a seller. Like I remember we had that call with the brokers, and we came off
like the week before we were supposed to close.
Yeah, we came off the call, and like I remember my team messaging me saying, like, it's dead, it's over. Like, there's no way we can get this done. And I kind of sat back and I thought, well, I'm not prepared to accept that. I know there's a way. We built rapport. There was a great strategic fit. I knew culturally it would be well aligned. I knew that we could add the right type of value to the business with you as a partner to kind of take it forward. And, you know, whenever I'm faced with those big decisions in life, I always ask myself the question, you know, what would have to be true for this to happen? And I walked over to I was in England at the time. I'm in my Florida house at the moment, but I was in my UK office, and I went to my whiteboard and I just wrote the steps down, like what would have to be true. And, you know, we figured it out, right? It was really, really important. And I think that comes down a lot in life. And this is a perfect segue into my next question for you, which is like one of my big frustrations as an online coach, and I don't know if you've seen this, is that, you know, we build these programs, and often, you know, they're significant investments for people to come in and do them, right? And, you know, where we're putting these programs out there, whether it's me on the business acquisition side or whether it's you on the online coaching side, growing online businesses, we're teaching our experience. We're teaching what we know to be true to make things work. And it's like recipes when you're baking, right? If you follow the recipe step by step, you get the right ingredients, you combine them at the right times, and you do the things that the person's telling you to do, there's no reason why you can't get the same result. Now, in online coaching, one of the biggest frustrations I've always had is why people just don't pull the trigger, right? Why they're only there to educate themselves. They're not there to actually execute and do the work that they need to do to get the results that they're looking for. And you and I both know that all comes down to kind of mindset, right? So in your experience, authentic conversion, like, and we don't need to go through like statistics of people that win big and didn't, but like, what do you think is the biggest thing that kind of holds people back from investing their hard-earned money into these programs, but then just not doing anything? And I've been guilty of that in stuff that I've invested in and I've never even like logged in. I once dropped $50,000 in a crypto mastermind and I went on one call. The biggest waste of money ever. But like, why do you think it is that people come into these programs and they invest, but they won't pull the trigger? They just won't do the work.
I think it can be so many different reasons. I mean, statistically, we at Authentic Conversion, we coach coaches. Statistically, 80 to 90% of coaches don't even make it the first year in the industry. So most are just in and out before they even start. And I think that the primary reason for that is the result of the reason is that they don't make any money, and who wants to spend time doing something or saying you're going to do something when you don't make money? And I think, that goes back to the fact that most people don't believe in themselves enough or trust their vision enough or trust themselves enough to go do the work. Because I always say to people, look, if you trust yourself to do the work and you are willing to follow the game plan we're going to give you, this is not like an expense in any way. This is going to return so much more. We're promoting a program right now where people literally need one client for the rest of their life for this to return a positive investment. One client for the entire rest of your life. And there are a lot of people who are like, I just can't invest that much right now. And I'm like, you're not going to make it, right? There's a very distinct thought process for people who are going to make it and who aren't. Sure, the dream of working for yourself and all the time and financial freedom and location freedom and all that is great, but there's a requirement of investing time, energy, and money before you see a return. And that's, I think, what most people just can't get over. Perhaps they don't even know what's possible for themselves, but they don't believe in themselves and what's possible enough to actually pull the trigger on those things. I think that's the biggest problem, because if they fully believed that what they wanted was not only available, but inevitable if they do the work, there would never even be a hesitation when it comes to doing something uncomfortable, putting yourself out there, investing the money, all of those things. It's the doubt that keeps us, I think, from making that decision.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the things I love about your business, right? Is that I think you've intentionally figured out how to fix that problem. So I think it's like people come into programs. I look at all the people that we vet to come into Protégé, right? They're all at different levels in their experience, and they're all at different levels in their journey. And oftentimes there's no one size fits all kind of path to nurture them to a certain point where they've got the confidence and the assurance and the belief that it's worth pulling the trigger to kind of do this. And I think a lot of it comes down to, like, it's what I call dimensionalized benefits, right? So, when I look at Dealmaker, and I say this all the time on the coaching calls, actually, nobody really wants to buy and own a business. Think of that as the feature, right? Mm-hmm. What they want are the benefits that becoming a business owner will give them, right? Which can be wealth creation, cash flow, legacy, freedom, work-life balance, assurance, pride, ego, whatever it is, right? Because our brains, our 2 million-year-old subconscious minds, make decisions through emotion, right? There are emotional triggers that we have to go through in our minds to make those buying decisions. And then our logical brain backs it up. Well, how much is it? And what's my ROI going to be? And how many hours a week do I need to study? And how do I log in? And all of those kind of crazy things. But what I saw in your marketing material, which is very, very different to, there's a lot of other marketers that, have mentored me in the past, phenomenal marketers that are now my dear friends, like Caleb O'Dowd, Todd Brown, Frank Kern, all these amazing guys. And they've figured it out as well. And I think in marketing, if you're truly prepared to help the student understand their why and then create a path to nurture them to the point where they're ready to pull the trigger, that's gold. Homozy does that so well. And I know you'll know him because, you know, he really got his chops, you know, coming at this from, you know, from the gym and the fitness space. But like, why doesn't everybody else do this, right? You know, you look at all these other people, like, you know, I got on these lists because I look at stuff and then you're just absolutely bombarded with emails like, hey, you know, I've saved a spot for you. Like I got a DM, I got a Facebook DM from somebody the other day, and he was actually the owner of the business who DM'd me and said, hey, I'm running a Black Friday special, my $6,000 course, I'm going to let you have for $3,000. I got one spot left and I want you to have it. Here's the link, sign up. And I replied back and I said, I actually have no idea what your course is. Like, tell me about it. Well, let's get on a call. And I'm thinking, well, no, I don't want to have a sales call with you. Where you're going to close me. I have absolutely no idea what your program is, how it's going to benefit me, and what are the results I can expect if I pull the trigger. It's like, just tell me what they are and then we'll have a call. No. That's what the call's all about. And it drives me crazy, this scarcity, BS. I got one spot. It's an online coaching program, right? Where there's one person in it or a million people in it, doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to lie to be an incredible marketer and position what you do so effectively to truly convince a prospect that if they pull the trigger and they dial in their purpose, they're going to get the results. Like, why is the rest of the market so scammy? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things, right? I don't know how many people would do that if they've been doing this any substantial length of time with any experience. I think the people who resort to those like kind of quick spammy tactics just don't know that there's a better way. And I think that just comes from either maybe what they've been taught or observed or just lack of experience. And, you know, the concept of authentic conversion, right? There's the authentic piece and then there's conversion, which is sales. And so the whole concept of that is to where it should really feel good for both parties. So the marketer, like no one wants to go send that DM that you received. Like, that doesn't feel good to anyone, but they just think they have to do it because they want to make the sale. So it should feel good to you as a marketer to do, even if it feels uncomfortable because you haven't done it before or it's different, but like, it should still actually feel genuine and it should feel good to the person receiving it. I still get messages all the time that ask me how my fitness business is going. I'm like, you didn't even like click my profile. I'm like, it's very clear that that's not what I do. And haven't for almost 10 years. So, you know, so there's that component of it. But I think that the real thing that detracts from the genuineness and the authenticity of marketing today is that everyone's more concerned with themselves than they are with the person that they're talking to, right? And I think that's really what I've always led with. And, you know, we're working on really amplifying sales and our sales team and everything here at Authentic Conversion since Chris has come in, but really like up into, and it's going to feel the same way, which I'm excited about, but really up until then, I have shown up and delivered value and nurtured and done that in a way to where the people who want what I have always come to me. I'm sure I follow up, but I'm never the one to send the cold DM. I'm never the one to, you know, try to hunt someone down and do those things. And they're just not things that I would ever personally be willing to do, because that really violates the integrity that I have. And that's how you get to be spammy and salesy, is when you're trying to do something that's good for you, but not for the person you actually want to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And like, we went through that process with our own sales team inside of Dealmaker, is when we hired them. They were all from a world where they were used to that scarcity, not scammy, but scarcity, all about them, not about the student. And we flipped that by saying, hey, so, you know, ask them two questions. Number one, you know, why do they want to do this? What's their purpose? What's the fuel that's going to drive them through when this gets challenging? Because it doesn't matter whatever you do in life, whether you want to lose weight, fix a relationship, buy a business, grow a business, sometimes it gets tough, right? And if you've not got the purpose or the why to power through, it's why most people give up in life, right? They're not dialed in as to why they want to do it. So we always ask that question. And then the second question we ask them, and this is really genuine, is we have them pitch us on why we should let them into the program, right? So one out of every two or three people that apply to come into Protégé, we let them in because we believe that I'm massive on values alignment, right? I have my values. The Dealmaker business is completely mirrored of my values. And when I look at people, either businesses I'm going to buy like yours or people that I want to coach, if my values are not aligned, I don't want them in the program. And sometimes that drives people crazy because Dealmaker could be, you know, it's an eight-figure business now, but it could be even bigger than that. But it's like, I don't just want to coach everybody, right? And like, hopefully soon you'll start coming on the Protégé calls and you'll see just the absolute power in that community and how it's grown just so much more outside of me. And I think that's come down to our sales and nurturing process. There are people that go through, you know, our front-end 10-day business buying challenge and they join the Protégé program or they apply within the first hour of the 10 days. They're like, this is amazing. You future pace this for me. I know now what I need to do. Yeah, I don't just want to dip my toe in the water. I want to get stuck in. I want to apply, right? And they're pitching us really hard to come into the program. Like, I'd rather have a business where the customer's pitching me than the company is pitching them. And it's like, I learned this from Apple, right? This is what Steve Jobs did with Apple. He turned Apple into a business that was just, it was like social currency. It was like people just, they weren't buying the product. They were buying what the product did for them. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I never see that. And that's what I saw that in your business, as did Chris, which is why we wanted to buy it for sure.
Love that. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I think, with the way the market is today, I think that's one of the things really required to win and to be one of the standouts. Yeah. In whatever industry you're in.
Perfect. I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to let you go. So we touched on this before. So you've been through a couple of exits. So you understand how the process works. You're a master at this now. And like for you now as an owner investor, so, you know, I'm a partner in like 26 companies now, including yours. And, you know, I don't really work in any of them. So I'm the consummate owner investor, chairman of the board. I think, and I coach, right? That's what I love to do. So I think with you now we've freed you up a lot to the point where you can think and coach with regards to authentic, but now you've got a bunch of time where you can do other things. I would love you at some point, and I will personally coach you through the process. I would love you to go and acquire other businesses and be able to leverage yourself with teams, go and find other Chris's that can run your businesses for you and have you build a portfolio across deals that you're really passionate about, right? So like, what would that look like for you if we did that? Like, what other businesses could you see yourself being an acquirer, but not having to do any of the day-to-day work?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had, to this point, to be fair, I have not had a whole lot of space to think about it. We've been working really hard, you know, with the transition. I'm still very involved in quite a lot of stuff. So I haven't gotten the space quite yet, but it's funny because, you know, when I obviously had already sold a business before, but when I was thinking about this process, I was talking to one of my friends and actually one of your former students, Evan Lindsay. Knows you, he knew Chris.
Great.
And he was in town. He actually owns a gym here, lives in Cayman Island. So he was like a great example of someone who's acquired businesses, runs them remotely very successfully. And so we were having a drink together and I was talking to him and I was like, who would want to buy this business? And he's like, who would want to start that business? So it's like really different perspectives. You know, I think I've always just kind of thought that I had to start something from the ground up for it to work or for it to be valuable. But, you know, clearly that's not the case. So this whole idea of like wanting to buy businesses is actually quite a new concept for me. I think it would be something that is a little bit less, I don't know if relational is the word. I think being a coach for 15 years, you know, and a teacher before that, I feel like I need a little less like, you know, human emotion involved. So yeah, I'm not sure.
I could see you doing very well in anything to do with like kind of health and fitness, right? So you're very passionate about fitness. You know, you're very intentional about your own health. I could see you buying, you know, supplement companies, yoga businesses, any businesses involved in like health, beauty, and nutrition for women. I could see a lot of that stuff. And like, you touched on something, and we'll talk about this very briefly before we finish, is it is a mindset shift for people, right? And the market data kind of really backs this up. So every year in the United States, almost 7 million people will start a company from scratch, according to the SBA. 7 million people will start a brand new business. They get that entrepreneurial itch, or as my good friend Michael Gerber calls, the author of The E-Myth, they have an entrepreneurial seizure, right? And a lot of people start businesses because they're very good at the technical work that the business does, right? So the mechanic goes out and starts his own repair shop. The chef goes out and starts her own restaurant, right? The coach, the great coach, goes and starts her own coaching company. And what's really interesting is the skills you need to have to run a business are completely different from the skills that you need to have to do what the business does, right? It's like the CPA that's a great CPA and goes and starts a CPA firm and they fail. And like the statistics are terrible, right? 96% of all startup businesses will fail within the first 10 years. Only 4% survive. And half of those businesses will fail within the first year. And when you think about it, when you start a new company, you've got no cash, you've got no credit, you've got no employees, you've got no customers. You probably don't have a product. You've just got an idea, right? It's a piece of paper. And you've no reputation yet in the market. You're just a brand new company. And people wonder why so many businesses fail. It's those two reasons. One, technicians try to become business owners and it doesn't always work. And number two, you're trying to push water uphill, but like becoming a business acquirer solves both of those two different problems, right? So it's like me, you know, when I looked at the roll up of Dealmaker in the coaching space, the one business that I really wanted to buy was a company like yours. Or one of the things I wanted to own was a business that would teach people how to build businesses online through marketing. And I could have started that business, right? You know, I can do marketing, Chris can do marketing. We could have started that business and it might have took us 5 years to get to the point where you're at. So by acquiring a business that's already successful and has achieved the things that you want to achieve, it's you're walking into cash flow. You're walking into customers, you're walking into products, you're walking into people. An acquisition has all of the things that startups don't have. And this is how big companies think, right? So think of Amazon, right? So Amazon's one of my favorite businesses. And do you think like all those years ago when, you know, Bezos was sat in his office and one of the guys ran in and said, Jeff, like you're not going to believe it. There's this company, it's called Audible. They've created a product that allows you to listen to a book while you're walking the streets or driving the car or in the gym, right? Bezos didn't sit down and think, well, dang, like I got to get my R&D team in here. Let's figure out how to build this and let's figure out how to go to market with it and let's figure out how to price it. And no, he just bought the company, right? So big businesses will acquire everything that they need to be successful. They might want to buy market share. They want to buy more revenue. They want to buy more EBITDA. They want to buy more employees, more customers, more products, more services, more locations, more IP. Everything that you want as a business owner, you can buy and you can get financing to help you make that acquisition. So you're not having to put all of your money down personally to make that. Like it's like buying a car, right? Like if you want to own a car, do you build the car? Not really. Do you buy all the components on eBay and then go on YouTube and think, well, where does the steering wheel go? And like, how do I where does the battery go? Like, no, you go and buy it, and then you can finance that purchase oftentimes without a lot of money out of your own pocket. And entrepreneurs don't get that, right? Entrepreneurs don't get that. They think they have to pay cash for everything. They think that they have to build everything from scratch because it's cool, right? They look at Facebook, they look at Google, they look at all these incredible businesses that we have now that were startups and became monster companies. Someone's got to start businesses, otherwise there's no businesses to buy. But if you think that 96% of businesses fail, go look at the 4% that survive and then just go buy them, because those owners are going to want to transition, you know, at some point. And you can buy those businesses, and the better they are, like your business, the easier it is to go and finance like the purchase of that. Like, it's just crazy. So hopefully in the future, when you're ready, we'd love to get you into some more deals, and it would be an absolute honor and privilege to kind of coach you through that.
Yeah, so look, I'm open to learning. I'm getting into some heavy equipment operation stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard about that actually.
But I'm actually quite excited about that. Never thought I would be. I don't even know what the heavy equipment's called, but the structure is really cool. But yeah, I'm open to learning everything. So I look forward to it.
Yeah. I was with those guys yesterday in Dallas, by the way. I went over there. Okay. To see them on some stuff, but no. Well, hey, Nicole, thank you so much for your time. Really enjoyed the conversation. Love riffing with you on all the stuff. But have a great rest of your day, and I will see you soon. Until then, yes. Bye for now.
Bye.